Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm sitting across the table from Debbie Shreve. And she has agreed, and her hand, surgically repaired hand,
recovering
from surgery that was 4 weeks ago.
4 weeks ago Wednesday. Past Wednesday was 4 weeks.
Yeah, and things are looking good.
You know, they're looking, and it's coming along. It's only been 4 weeks, and so I'm choosing to be joyful and positive.
It's going to take 3 months to heal.
3 months to a year to get everything totally back. So,
it was a second surgery on your arthritis in your thumb. The first one lasted for 7 years and then failed. And
this one was a little more involved.
Yes, a lot more to do.
A lot more to do. So it was a lot more pain involved with that.
Well, I wanted to read to you from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 4. It says this: "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." We're calling this program today, Leaving a Legacy. Now, I got the news yesterday afternoon, the shocking news that Dr. Vody Baucham had passed away. The cause of death has not been released. I knew that he had had some serious heart issues, that he had to get some major surgery. I was privileged, along with many, many others, to help contribute. Tom Askell, who's been a frequent guest on the program, is one of Vody's best friends. And Tom led a crusade to get money for Vody to have that surgery, and they raised over $1 million.
This is a couple of years ago, right?
A few years ago, and Vody was doing really well. People were asking him about his health. He said, "I feel great." And so to get that news that that he passed away yesterday was shocking indeed. Vody was an outspoken preacher and seminary professor and theologian and seminary president. Tom had brought him from Africa to Florida to start a seminary, the Founders Seminary, there at Grace Baptist Church there in Cape Coral, Florida. And so this is the first semester. So we need to pray for Vody's family. He's got, I think, 7 children. I'm going off memory here. But he's only 56 years old. Just a monster preacher as far as being such a lion in the pulpit. And I wanted to play a clip from Vody Baucham. He stood up for truth. He's my kind of guy. He was just, he would take the shots. He wrote the book Fault Lines, and he calls out those who have secretly infiltrated the church with false doctrine, calls out the tares among the wheat. You know, he was the one that said the 11th commandment is thou shalt be nice. And Vody said, we're so nice that we allow all these false teachers and false teaching in the church. And so he was wanting to root that out, as we're called to do in the book of Jude, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Well, here is Vody talking about the fact that we don't get a Jesus that we can manipulate and make into our own image. God is not the God that you want him to be. He is the God who is. And we either get on the Lord's side or we choose our own side, which is, as the song says, all other ground is sinking sand. So here was Vody Baucham from a sermon not too long ago.
Everybody loves Jesus as long as you don't define who he is. As long as you don't get into the nitty-gritty of what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God. Listen, if Jesus is just a good man and a good teacher, even a good prophet, he is completely acceptable. Mormons and Muslims alike love Jesus. Hindus and Buddhists are very happy with Jesus as long as he's just a teacher who offers sage wisdom, then Jesus is fine. But the minute you step across that line and argue that Jesus is more than prophet, more than teacher, that he is actually God incarnate, God with us. Now, all of a sudden, those who were more than willing to gather with you scatter. Because everybody loves Jesus. As long as you don't define him.
Well, Vody did a great job in defining who Jesus was. I was thinking, Debbie, as that was playing, different ones that I've been friends with for a long time that are on Facebook that talk about their worship and talk about their Jesus. And it's like, well, that Jesus doesn't exist. That Jesus is a figment of your imagination.
I know. I was just thinking about that as he was doing that as well, because I've seen so many things on Facebook about, you know, Lord, help me be the kind of Christian that does this, that's like this, that's like this. And some of it is very valid, scripturally sound advice, things that we truly do need to be and things that we need to do. But some of them, it's like, who is this Jesus that you're talking about? You know, because right. It's to not be put things in a black and white category, a right or wrong category, a good or evil category. Mm. And it's like, okay, but that's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. That's why he was crucified. That's why they hated him.
Right.
You know, and so it to me, all these recent powerhouse legacy leavers that we have lost in the last few months, it's like they stood up for who Jesus truly was.
Right.
Right. And so it's like we can't assume that other people are going to always be speaking up for us and that are going to be speaking the truth. That's one of the things that I think Charlie Kirk's life has illustrated to so many, is that you too are a Charlie Kirk. You have got to start standing up for the truth of the scripture and who Jesus truly is, not who you want him to be, especially if you have a temperament that has a much more grace and mercy leaning, mm-hmm. because he is the embodiment of grace and mercy and truth. Mm-hmm. And so there's that balance that's there. And so anytime you're reading something that is so slanted towards, you know, being this type of believer and it's only one-sided, it's like you better be careful. Be real careful, because those are some false teachings.
Well, they are. And so I've stated many times, you know, when you preach, it's truth and love. Truth is all in caps. I think I said this yesterday. Mm-hmm. But love is there, because you love people. You don't want people to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, well, the world was condemned. You know, the wrath of God abides on those who don't believe in Jesus. But he didn't send Jesus on a condemnation mission. He sent him to seek and to save that which was lost. God wants to save. But the reality is, and the truth is, you are a helpless, hopeless sinner. I think I said that Sunday in my message on Samuel. You know, the bad news, you know, Samuel was given a word from the Lord, 1 Samuel chapter 3, this is what I'm going to do to Eli and his house. And everybody who hears about it, their ears are going to tingle. They're going to start shaking in their boots. And the reality is they're going to die. And so when Samuel awoke in the morning, Eli wanted to know, what did the Lord say to you? Don't hold back. And so Samuel told him everything. And that's, we need to preach the whole counsel of God. We need to tell people the bad news. The bad news is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what do you get as a sinner who falls short of the glory of God? Death. The wages of sin is death. It pays you in death, physical death and spiritual death, separated from God forever and ever and ever. And that's the bad news, which prepares you for the good news, which is, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, those guys, John MacArthur, James Dobson, Charlie Kirk, Vody Bauckham, They were faithful in preaching the real Jesus, the biblical Jesus. As Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, when someone comes to you with a different gospel, with another Jesus whom we have not preached, there's only one Jesus, and that's the Jesus of the Bible. Adrian Rogers used to say the Jesus of the liberal is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the cultist is not the Jesus of the Bible. And who can save? Only the true Jesus who is found in Scripture.
Well, and who Jesus really is doesn't change based on the fact if we agree with it or not.
Right.
You know, it is not required of us to understand it all, to agree with everything. We are required to be obedient to it. And I think that's a challenge to all of us, because in the culture in which we live, being obedient to that, speaking up to that, it's going to become increasingly harder to do. It's going to take a lot more courage than it used to take, mm-hmm. because we used to have just social norms that backed up so much biblical truth. Well, those days
right.
are gone.
Right.
And so it is going to take more courage on our part to speak up and to be involved. You know, I've seen on a lot of people's Facebooks, you know, hey, I'm not political. It's like, okay, I 5 or 6 years ago, I probably would have said the same thing about myself. So I understand that comment. But the bottom line is we must all become political if we want to have a country where we want our kids and grandkids to be able to live in freedom. We better get ourselves political, and we better start speaking up and standing up for truth and righteousness.
Well, I saw one guy, a black guy, and he was talking about leaving the Democrat Party. He said, I just can't stay here anymore. I can't be on the team with those that want to murder unborn children, with those who want to lie to confused adolescents that, oh, you're really a boy trapped in a girl's body or a girl trapped in a boy's body and wants to do quote-unquote transgender care, which is nothing more than gender mutilation and drugs and lies. And he just said, I can't do this anymore. And he had never seen himself or felt like he was a Republican, but he said, I can't be a Democrat. And I think that anybody who truly is a Christian, you have to open your eyes, because that party that may at one time have been for the working man is not anymore. And Ronald Reagan said that. He said, I didn't leave the Democrats. The Democrats left me. And so I love what Vody said in there. You know, everybody loves Jesus until you present to them the real Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to his physical brothers, his half-brothers, same mother, but obviously Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. He said in John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Why? Because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. He called men out. What does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, you're a sinner, and God is righteous. And what happens to a sinner before a righteous God? Judgment. Judgment comes. And so when we understand that, and that you're going to be judged by a righteous God because you're a sinner and you've committed high treason against heaven's King, then you start to look up and cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about leaving a legacy. Vody Baucom has left a legacy of truth-telling. Charlie Kirk has left a legacy, a massive legacy of truth-telling. John MacArthur, a legacy of truth-telling and preaching the Scripture and not watering it down. James Dobson has left a legacy of truth-telling. What is your legacy going to be? It says of Abel, though he is dead, he still speaks. We want our lives to count even past our death so that our children, our grandchildren can follow in our footsteps. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after the break.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
Every day, I speak with people who are worried and are feeling a lot of pressure because of credit card debt. That's why I'm very proud of what we do at Trinity. We just help. We give people the support they need, along with a real plan to become debt-free. Credit card bills are consolidated into a single monthly payment that is much less than what they were paying before. Most of our members end up saving thousands and even may improve their credit scores by as much as 200 points. I know from the bottom of my heart that I'm making a difference in the lives of the people we help. It just makes me really happy.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Julie, and I'm a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Thank you for partnering with listener-supported American Family Radio during Share-a-thon, October 7th through 9th.
We talk about politics to our friends to shed light on what's going on in America, that there is an absolute right. And I thank you guys. I support you guys. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we love you.
Twice a year, we open the phone lines, and the blessings flow. By the grace of God, AFR will continue to share God's love, truth, and the gospel.
I respect Brother Don Wildman. I remember when he started, AFR is always there, pouring out of themselves to know what's really going on in the world as it relates to the Christian worldview, and they really do preach the gospel. It has been just wonderful, and this is just something that I have to support.
Thank you for partnering with American Family Radio, and be listening to AFR October 7th through 9th during Share-a-thon.
AFR brought me closer to Christ.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is...
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Debbie and I are talking about leaving a legacy. We were both shocked when we heard the news that Vody Baucham had passed away yesterday at the age of 56. Vody Baucham, a lion of a preacher and just a stalwart of the truth. He follows John MacArthur, James Dobson, Charlie Kirk, with giants in Christendom who have recently fallen, and we don't know what to make of it, other than just saying it is the Lord. We trust Him, and we know that He's in charge, and we praise Him. But Debbie, you were saying about the at the break about the Charlie Kirk memorial service and how the gospel was preached, and so many politicians were talking about Jesus. And what did you want to read there?
Well, and some of you may have seen this post. I took a picture of it, so I cut off the person's name who actually made the post. But I thought I would just read it because I thought it was so good, because so often all we hear are negative things about our country. And Charlie's big push was, we live in the best country in the world, you know? And so this was written by someone in Britain, and they said this: we British Christians would get excited when once a year Queen Elizabeth would make a mild but sincere reference to the love of Jesus Christ in her Christmas address. In Charlie Kirk's memorial service, watched by tens of millions, I just heard multiple clear presentations of the gospel with clear calls to repentance, worship songs full of scripture sung by tens of thousands live and millions at home. personal testimonies of lives transformed by the work of Christ and the witness of believers, demonstration and explanation of the value of marriage, child rearing, and family, calls to Romans 13 for the government to bear the sword for the protection of good and punishment of the wicked, declarations of spiritual warfare on the forces of evil and promises to endure no matter the cost, calls to be prophets and call the nation to repent, more scripture references and Bible readings than I can count, and a widow publicly forgiving her husband's killer because Christ forgave his killers on the cross. All of it done before and by the most powerful people in your nation and the world. You guys should be on your knees thanking God for your country. It is the light to the world. Never stop fighting for it.
Mm, that's so good.
Powerful.
Well, I was thinking about Tim Allen. So I saw a news report about Tim Allen. This is what he put on X just the other day. When Erica Kirk spoke the words on the man who killed her husband, and this is what she said, "That man, that young man, I forgive him. That moment deeply affected me," said Tim Allen. He said, "I have struggled for over 60 years to forgive the man who killed my dad." His dad was killed by a drunk driver when he was 11. He said, "I will say those words now as I type. I forgive the man who killed my father. Peace be with you all." That is just powerful. So the Lord has used that memorial service in tremendous ways, is still using it. And that one thing, being able to forgive. Now, does she feel forgiveness and love toward this guy that killed her husband? Probably not. But faith is not a feeling. You don't feel your way into faith. You faith your way into feelings. You say, I'm taking the bull by the horns. I'm choosing to do this. And my feelings will one day match up, but I'm not going to hold on to bitterness and resentment. I'm not going to get mad at God. God is in charge. Could God have protected Charlie Kirk? Yes. Could God have protected Tim Allen's father? Yes. He didn't, by whatever reason that he has. We know God is good. We know God loves us. We know God doesn't make any mistakes. He is perfect in wisdom and in knowledge. And so we just say, all right, Lord. We say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And we yield ourselves and our right to hold on to this anger and hatred and bitterness. We let that go. You know, the old expression, you know, bitterness is it's drinking the poison, hoping it kills the other person. It doesn't. It kills you. It doesn't affect that other person, but it does affect you. And so forgiveness is opening the prison door and letting the captive go free, understanding that the captive was really yourself.
Well, and I think with Erica, we saw that she said that through tears. I mean, that was a sacrifice of forgiveness, right, out of obedience to the Lord. And just like you said, she's so raw right now, as anyone, my goodness, as anyone would be. But to be bold enough to make that statement, trusting that over time, God will change her feelings to match up with that choice of obedience that she made to forgive. Boy, that was powerful. I was sobbing.
Yes. Yes. And you know, it just shows what their home was built on, what their marriage was built on. Charlie knew the dangers that he was facing, because, you know, I saw him on Bill Maher, and Bill Maher was saying, "Do you have to travel with security?" And he said, "Yes." Mm-hmm. And he said, "What kind of security?" He said, "Well, you know, bodyguards and stuff, so people don't try and beat me up or kill me." And we know that on the left you have Antifa, which has recently been designated a terrorist organization, which it is, that they went after Andy Ngo and beat him, you know, to a pulp. And they would love to silence those who are speaking the truth. Jesus said, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil." Anyone who testifies against the world that its deeds are evil, who shines the light on the darkness, well, you put yourself in the crosshairs of the enemy who wants to steal and kill and destroy. So what a legacy, and what a what an impacting statement Erica Kirk had, by faith forgiving the man that killed her husband, and Tim Allen saying, hey, that affected me deeply, because he's been obviously been holding on to bitterness toward this guy for all those many, many years. That guy's probably dead by now, and still holding on to that, and how freeing it is when you actually do forgive your brother from the heart.
Well, you know, it's I was thinking about it over the break. You know, the title of this entire broadcast today is about leaving a legacy, and we are leaving a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy are we leaving? Mm-hmm. And to leave the kind of legacy that is going to make a difference and that's going to be impactful for the kingdom takes intentionality. It takes intentionality. It takes discipline. It takes courage. And I think that was one of the things about the Charlie Kirk Memorial is how inspiring that was to propel people to be mindful of that, you know, because so often we get so wrapped up in just the busyness of life, the in and out, the mundane, just all the things that we have a tendency to get caught up in, and we're so short-sighted, and we need to keep eternity in the forefront of our minds, because we are leaving a legacy for those that are coming behind us, and we want to be faithful. We want to leave a faithful legacy, a godly legacy, an inspiring legacy, a legacy that is of value, where the people that are looking to our legacy say, God would have said to this person, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah, you know, that's used a lot at funerals. I've used it a lot with godly people. But the reality is, you know, I heard Billy Graham say this. He said, I don't know if I'm going to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, because he knows himself really well, and he knows all his shortcomings, and or he did. And, you know, I remember hearing Billy Graham say that, and I thought, well, good night. If Billy Graham doesn't hear well done, I have no hope, you know. But we don't need to look at it like that. If we live for the Lord, and we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, and we deal with sin in our lives, and we do the things he's called us to do. Not everybody has the same race. Not everybody is given the same amount of gifts. Not everybody has 5+ talents like a Charlie Kirk had, or a Vody Bachum had, or a John MacArthur had. Use what you've been given to the glory of God. Take your 5 talents and make 5 more. Take your 2 talents and make 2 more. Take your 1 talent and make 1 more. Don't bury it in the ground. Use what God has given you. Take advantage of the opportunities you have with friends and families and family members and neighbors and workmates and teammates and classmates, and stand up for Jesus, speak up for Jesus, speak the truth in love, be his witnesses. And when you do that, God sees that. You know, if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, the Lord says you will not lose your reward. And God knows how to reward his faithful servants. And some are known and some are unknown, but all are known to the Lord. And he longs to reward his servants. He says 3 times in the book of Revelation, in the last chapter, Revelation 22, behold, I'm coming quickly. And then he says, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to his deeds. The idea of works, people get confused. They think that you have to do good works in order to be saved. You don't do good works in order to be saved. Works are not the root of salvation, but they are the fruit of salvation. And this is interesting to think about, but everyone is going to be judged. The lost person is judged according to his deeds, Revelation chapter 20, and the saved person is judged by the deeds which he has done in the body, whether good or worthless. And you're only saved because of Jesus, so it's by grace through faith, but you are rewarded or suffer lack of reward based on what you did with your 5 talents or your 2 talents. Or your 1 talent.
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking about King David in the Old Testament. I mean, and I think if we look at his track record, we would all agree, you know, he had some major blunders, some major shortcomings, some major fallings. But yet he was a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God understands our weaknesses, and he knows because he formed us. He wove us together in our mother's wombs. And so he's not put off, shocked, surprised by our weaknesses, but it's what we allow him to do through our weaknesses and through the discipline that he brings into our lives to conform us into the image of Christ. What are we doing with those things? And so it is not our job to determine if we are good and faithful servants. We just do and we act and we obey as unto the Lord. And that's his call when we get there, you know, but we're just faithful in the small things, step by step, day by day. But you have to have intentionality with that, because that's not just going to just happen.
Right. And when you think about, you know, when Jesus would tell those parables about the master who went on a journey and then came back, you know, he said to his servants, do business with this until I return. Luke chapter 19, the story of the minas, you know, The people that are serving the Lord, they're excited when the Lord comes back. They're not fearful, mm-hmm. but it's the one that's not doing anything. That's the one who is fearful. So the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the execution of the execution of justice is joy to the righteous, but it is terror to the workers of iniquity. If you're walking in the light with the Lord, you're not terrorized by his return. But if you're not, and if you're a believer, a true believer, and you know you're not walking with God, well, his return is going to be a time of fear and shame for you, because you know you're not doing right. And you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say that makes me think of this paragraph that was in this article that you sent me this morning about the Charlie Kirk Memorial. And it says this: there was something undeniable about Charlie's life. He was willing to do something. He wasn't content to sit on the sidelines while culture shifted. He didn't retreat into comfort or convenience. Instead, he leaned in with faith, passion, and courage. That alone is worth honoring, no matter where you stand politically. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, he was obedient to the Lord. And obedience to the Lord comes with a price tag. It's not easy to be obedient to the Lord. You're going up against culture. You're denying your flesh. I mean, there's all these things coming against you to keep you from doing that. Mm-hmm. And so it is imperative that we are faithful.
Well, I played a clip on that Wednesday night. We had a special service. I changed my sermon to talk about the events of the day on September 10th when Charlie Kirk was murdered, and about how he made such an impact. And Charlie Kirk, we played the clip where he was talking to pastors and churches, and he said, what are you doing? You know, is it just to have good music and good coffee and make mm-hmm. people feel good? Or are we preaching a message that says, hey, God is holy and we're sinful. We need to get right with him. We need to deal with our sin. We need to make sure that we are walking in the light as he himself is in the light. And that ruffles feathers. That upsets people. It says of Paul and Silas, when they went to Thessalonica, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have upset the world have come here also. The men that had upset the world were Paul and Silas. And the old phrase is so true. As Christians, we are to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Especially for pastors. If you don't afflict the comfortable, those who are just in la-la land about their Christianity, I got my fire insurance, I can just live however I want. If you view salvation as fire insurance, I don't think you understand what it is. It's a relationship with the living God. It's a walk in the light with Jesus. It's believing with all your heart that God sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the dead on the third day, and that we're accountable to him. And we're going to give an account of our lives to him one day. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my beautiful wife, Debbie. So glad to have her on board. We're talking about leaving a legacy, specifically as it related to Vody Baucham, Charlie Kirk, Johnny Mack, James Dobson. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, We would love to hear from you, so give us a call and let's talk.
In today's society, the traditional values of marriage and the family unit face increasing scrutiny and reinterpretation. Join us as a courageous group of speakers and leaders rise up to defend these foundational institutions from a biblical perspective. For more information and to reserve your spot, visit us at ses.edu/national-conference. The Steadfast National Conference on Christian Apologetics and Evangelism, where faith meets reason, culture, and community.
Are you a new small group leader looking for a strong curriculum? Even if you've been a leader for years, there's always a need for tools to help you as you help others deepen their love for God and their Bible knowledge. AFA Stream is a great resource. With topics covering biblical worldview training, godly marriage, and more, you'll have access to some of the best teaching available. And if you're a Great Commission partner, you open up even more. Visit stream.afa.net today. stream.afa.net.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Persecuted believers around the world, they're praying for your help today. Pastor Abinoss faithfully shares the gospel with indigenous tribes in his native Bangladesh, but not without harsh opposition. Recently, following a baptism ceremony, armed radicals tortured Abinoss and other pastors, but they take to heart what Jesus says in Matthew 5, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you.
Beaten, cast out. So easy to hate people that do this to you. He said, no, I love them.
Persecuted believers around the world, they're not asking for your pity. They're praying for the precious word of God to endure. And at $5 a Bible, will you consider a single gift of $100 for 20 or a dollar a day? That's $30 a month, providing 72 Bibles over the next year. Pray about it and call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give it sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you are a pastor's wife, come be encouraged and renewed as you share your challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 28th through the 30th. You're invited to join us at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee for 3 days of encouragement, renewal, and worship. Once again, Brother Bert Harper, AFA Director of Family and Pastoral Ministries, will host the retreat along with his wife, Jan. Our speakers will include J.J. Jasper and Dr. Alex McFarland. If you've attended in the past, we'd love to see you again. And if you've never experienced a fishbowl retreat, we especially invite you to be refreshed and renewed. The per-couple admission price includes lodging, meals, and materials. Visit repairingthefoundations.net to learn more and register. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about leaving a legacy. We've had John MacArthur pass away at the age of 86, I believe. James Dobson, well into his 80s. He was 89, if memory serves. And then Charlie Kirk, gunned down at the young age of 31. And now Vodi Bauckham died. I assume it's something related to his heart at the age of 56. And so these are giants that God was using in great ways. And these are men that have left a wonderful legacy of faithfulness and integrity and standing up for the truth. Now, we had a caller yesterday that was saying he didn't like us standing up for Charlie Kirk and talking well about him, to lionize him, because he said he was a racist. Well, I wanted to play a clip from Brandon Tatum. Brandon Tatum, if you follow him on X, he's a black guy. And I had the privilege of meeting him briefly at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention a couple years ago. And he stands up for truth. This is what he had to say concerning the accusation that Charlie Kirk was a racist.
I've been working with Charlie since 2017. We held the first black leadership summit at the White House for black conservatives to go never has happened in the history of the country. Charlie's idea, the white man you talking about, his idea was to galvanize. And you know who helped us do it? For you suckers out there, you know who helped us do it? We got one black man to donate us money to get all those kids out. We pay every single one of their airfare. We put them up in a hotel. And some of them ain't never been to the White House before. Some of them ain't never put on a dress before. They ain't never had an occasion where they can dress up before. We paid for every one of them to get there. One black man gave 20 grand. Who's helping us raise money to get black people to the White House? White people. The man that stood next to me that would go to fundraiser to fundraiser. The woman that stood next to me to go from fundraiser to fundraiser to tell people about the mission that Charlie Kirk started was number white people. And then you turn around, that man ain't never been racist to me. Charlie ain't got a racist bone in his body. Y'all Negroes don't want to hear the truth from a black man. The funny thing is, you claim that it's bad that people are honoring Charlie Kirk, and he was much better of a man than George Floyd.
That was Brandon Tatum. I like him a lot. Well, Debbie, switching gears a little bit, people have heard that President Trump on Monday came out with RFK Jr., Bobby Kennedy Jr., and said, hey, there seems to be a causal link between autism and pregnant women taking Tylenol. And so, you know, if whatever Trump says, the people that hate him, that are severely infected with Trump derangement syndrome, they're going to go to the other side. We'll show you that Tylenol doesn't affect pregnant women. And they had the Tylenol challenge, overdose on Tylenol and show that it's safe. And so a woman who is 22, 23 weeks pregnant, she took a massive amount of Tylenol, whatever massive means. She took more than what is prescribed. And now she is on a respirator with liver failure. And according to Nicole Suratek, I can't read my own writing there, the lady that started American Frontline Nurses, she said, well, she's going to die. She's never going to get off the respirator. She says dying from liver failure is very painful and very horrible. And what is causing, and the baby doesn't look like the baby is, you know, maybe lives, who knows, but the husband is there with good night. Why did she do that? It's because of Trump derangement syndrome. It's because somebody said, hey, take the Tylenol challenge. What kind of an idiot? That's like saying, hey, put six bullets in the chamber of your revolver. Take the revolver challenge and put it to your head and pull the trigger. I mean, it's like, good night. I read that story, and you know, one half of your heart just breaks that somebody would do that, and the other half says, how can you be so stupid? How can you be so blinded by hatred for one man that you would risk your life to try and prove him wrong?
Yeah, it just absolutely, to the rational mind, makes zero sense.
It's the sick world in which we live in. I have a guy I've known for a long time that is so obsessed with Trump. That's all he ever posts about, anti-Trump things. Kind of like Jimmy Kimmel, everything coming out of his mouth. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. He doesn't couch it in those terms. But he said, I saw a clip just the other day, you know, he's back on the air with his show that's just a, you know, it's another arm for the Democrat National Convention. But he said, Trump's a bully, and I'm out here to call out the bully. And it's like, you know, after a while, it's just white noise. Okay, what are you going to say today? Oh, he's a fascist. He's a racist. He's Hitler. He's a misogynist. He's this. He's that. All the things they said about Charlie Kirk. And many people hated Charlie Kirk because he promoted Donald Trump. And he said, hey, he was on the campaign stump in 2024 for Donald Trump. And lots of people say, hey, Trump wouldn't have won in 2024 had it not been for Charlie Kirk. And so there's the famous scene where Charlie Kirk, they announced that Trump won the presidency, and he starts crying. And somebody said, well, why were you crying? And he said, well, for two reasons, because I felt like that God had given us a reprieve and it was an answer to prayer compared to what our country would have been like under Kamala Harris. But also he said the Biden administration was investigating me and wanting to put me in federal prison for the crime of telling the truth.
Mm. Goodness.
So we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. And we have Anthony on the line from North Carolina. Anthony, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Anthony. Yes, a quick comment concerning Charlie Kirk. I didn't personally know Charlie. I didn't follow him online. I'm a black man. Mm-hmm. I saw a couple of his clips on social media, and I'm a Christian, and he was saying some good stuff. And what struck me when I heard about his assassination, it just, you know, I was just so emotionally moved, and I just couldn't understand it, you know. But it did something to me in a sense that it made me want to be more bold for my testimony for the Lord, you know. And, and that's what it did for me without knowing him. I was 10 years old when MLK was assassinated. Mm-hmm. And I was three, I think I was like two when JFK was killed. But for some reason, Charlie Kirk did something, not just to me, but thousands. It just made people want to know the Lord or come back to the Lord. So I just believe God was in all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree, Anthony. And I appreciate you calling in to share that. Yeah, I've heard that testimony from many. And I think it also tells us that perhaps the time is short. Now, I've made the connection between John the Baptist, who was the one that the Lord sent to prepare the way for the Lord, the messenger that said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." And he had a short ministry, 6 months or more, right around that time period. And then he said, "He must increase," speaking of Jesus, "and I must decrease." And then he was arrested, and then he was beheaded. And he paved the way for the first coming of the Lord. It could be with Charlie Kirk that his death paves the way for the second coming of the Lord. And it is in the heart and mind of God, no doubt. He wants to save. He doesn't want to judge. And so I think that God in his mercy and grace allowed this to happen so that many more would be strong in their faith and that we would see revival come to America and to the world through this situation, through this this tragedy and this murder, that it would cause many to stand up, speak up for Jesus, and the outgrowth of that would be the salvation of souls. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you calling in, Anthony, and I appreciate you taking a strong stand for your faith. So God bless you, my brother.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, Debbie. So You had something that you wanted to read.
Yes. I at the end of this article, it just left you with this challenge. And this was the article concerning Charlie Kirk's memorial. And at the end of it, it said, "Let me just ask you this question. Are you content watching from the stands? Or are you willing to get in the game? Are you satisfied with applauding the courage of others, or will you let God use you, even in your weakness, to bring hope to those who are desperate for it? The truth is that every one of us is leaving a legacy. The real question is not if we'll leave one, but what kind are we leaving?" Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was such a challenging, thought-provoking question to end that article with, because I think for so long, so many of us have trusted other people to be our voice. Mm-hmm. And the time for that, there are still people we can trust to be our voice, but they're becoming fewer and further between. Mm-hmm. We have to speak up ourselves. And, you know, I was thinking, Jeff, in light of you kind of just talking about these four mega people that we have lost in just the last 3 months, mm-hmm. and how God always raises up his prophets. Mm-hmm. He does not leave us without a prophet. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can see this as like, oh, you know, everything's just coming. It's just awful. But it's like God is going to be raising up other people to be his voice and to speak for him. And, you know, I think about whoever that guy was that made the prediction that Christ's return was going to be, I think it was Tuesday of this week, the 23rd of September. It's like, you know, the test of a true prophet is what they say come true?
Right.
You know, and so when you you start looking at some of these things that you read, that you hear, you have to research that for yourself, engage your brain, mm-hmm. and research things to make sure that you're listening to the right things and believing the right things. And the one thing that we can count on as true is God's word. Right. People are going to fail. They're going to misstep. But God's word is the same yesterday, today, yes, forever. And so that's the principles. Those are the tenets. Those are the beliefs that we stake our lives on and we stand up for and we speak out for.
That's for sure. So in my quiet time today, I read from Jeremiah 23, and it's all about the shepherds, the false prophets. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. I played a clip yesterday where this activist in California was calling out the pastors and saying, hey, you guys are going to be judged. James 3:1, let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. If you're not speaking the truth in love to a lost and dying generation, if you're not building your congregation up on the solid words of the faith, and you're giving them what they want to hear and not what they need to hear, you're going to be judged by God for that. And so the Lord, read Jeremiah 23 and see what he has to say about the lying prophets, the ones who tell people, that tickle the ears and tell people, you know, hey, this will be good. We're not going to, you know, my God's not going to abandon us to Babylon and to Nebuchadnezzar. And the reality was he was going to do that. And so Jeremiah was speaking the truth. And what did they do? They beat him for it. They put him in a dry well for it because they hated that message. They said to Isaiah, prophesy to us illusion. Speak to us pleasant words. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of God. That's exactly where people are today. That's why a guy like Joel Osteen is so popular, because he just speaks to lost people and makes them feel good in their lostness, and that God's like a lucky rabbit's foot or something like that. He's not. He's God. And we can get in line with the Lord. We can follow. We can answer the question that Moses asked, who is on the Lord's side? And we can get on the Lord's side. Now, he's not on our side. We need to be on his side. Or we can just say, well, I'm just going to live how I want. And God's going to bless me. And if he doesn't, then I'm going to be mad at God. Well, be mad at God all you want. He's God. He doesn't acquiesce to our whims and wishes. We have to get on board with him. So leaving a legacy, it comes when you really walk in the light with Jesus. And listen, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. The Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. We struggle with sin, but there's a difference between being perfect and being genuine. And God is much more concerned about the direction of your life than he is about the perfection of your life. So yes, deal with sin in your life. Yes, confess it. Yes, get those things out. Make no provision for the flesh with regard to its lusts. But when you do all that, then stand up and speak up for Jesus.
That's right. And complete the work, you know? Just stay faithful and don't get distracted from the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because the enemy is out there to distract us, to steal, kill, and destroy. And we've got to be on guard, and we've got to make no provision for that.
Yeah. The poem says, though the pathway to glory may sometimes seem dreary, it pays to serve Jesus, and it pays every day. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I hope you have a great weekend. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.